Welcome to the Teaching Journeys podcast, hosted by Dave Roberts. Humanity possesses a unique skill, the ability to pass knowledge from one generation to the next. This podcast embraces that ability, offering learning opportunities through conversations with extraordinary guests. Dave aims to leave a positive mark on individuals around the world. So before you dive into today's episode, please share this podcast with your network, including friends, family, and colleagues. And please consider leaving a rating or review. Your support makes all the difference.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts. And today it is my pleasure to have as my guest, Tina Kadish. Tina is the founder from Job to Joy. She is a dynamic business coach, best-selling author, and speaker dedicated to empowering new and aspiring female entrepreneurs. With over 20 years of corporate experience in talent acquisition and training, Tina combines strategic insight with heart-centered coaching to help women break free from unfulfilling careers and build businesses that bring them joy, freedom, and prosperity. She is the author of Freedom, 7 Steps to Thrive in Life and Business, and From Pain to Peace, A Mother's Heartbreaking Journey Through Losing a Child, books that reflect her deep commitment to transformation, resilience, and purpose-driven success. Tina, welcome to the Teaching Journeys podcast. I've been looking forward to our conversation for some time now.
Thank you so much for having me here, Dave. I'm looking forward to it.
You're welcome. I forgot how we met. I think we must have met through, I must have been a podcast guest forum, I think.
Yes, and we met through someone else, if I remember. I don't remember the person's name, fortunately. But we did.
We did. I can't either, but whoever that person was that introduced us, I'm grateful for the connection. So
Me too. Yes, I know. We meet so many people along the way, and we just don't remember everybody, but I'm glad that we connected.
Me too. So, Tina, my first question for you is, tell our audience about the experiences that have shaped your life path and your life passions today.
Wow, so many life experiences that we go through in our life. You know, I've gone through career loss, getting laid off from my corporate career. I've experienced a loss of a marriage. I've experienced a loss of a daughter. And so what it has taught me along the way in these challenges is that my resiliency and my courage to stand up, to move through these challenges in our life makes us, shapes us. And the lessons that we learn along the way from experiences, I believe, makes us stronger. And that we learn, not only do we learn what are we going to do differently from this, but what have these lessons taught us, these experiences taught us?
Go ahead, please.
It just gave me more strength. And I realized that I have more strength than I thought I did, and that I keep moving forward. And what keeps me forward is my faith, is what has kept me going.
Yeah, and it's the challenges in our life that really define who we are and define what mark we're going to leave in this world before we leave. But it isn't so much the good stuff that happens, it's the challenges that occur that determine the type of life we're going to lead in this world and the quality of our life.
That's right. If we can make an impact in this world, when I see what other people, when they pass away and the impact that they make, that people remember them after they've left, I say, wow, I would love to leave a legacy.
Mm-hmm. Myself. Yeah. And I think we all do. I think we all want to be remembered for our legacy. None of us want to be forgotten.
No, we don't.
I know you've written a couple of different books, but obviously we're going to focus today on your book, From Pain to Peace, and Obviously your journey after the death of your daughter. So I know your daughter's name is Daniela.
Yes.
So why don't you tell our audience a little bit about your daughter, Daniela, what made her so special, and Just anything you want to share that will help the audience get to know her through your eyes.
Okay, so my daughter was a beautiful soul. She was a journalist and a writer, and she loved history, loved books. We shared a love of books. We shared a love of knowledge. And so as my oldest, and we were very close, and when she passed away, she was 37 years old and passed away from an illness. And that really, really shocked me to my core. Never imagined in my life that I'd be losing a child. And so she was a great person. Just a great person, always loved to give to others. She had one of the things when I was talking about impact, she made an impact with her friends, her own community, her people, that they remembered her and what she taught them. And her giving was there for others. And that's what I found more when she passed away, because people came up to me and shared to me how she had helped them, which was amazing.
Yeah, it's, first of all, my condolences for the death of your daughter, Danielle. And, you know, we talked during a pre-chat, and we both are members of a club that we never would have envisioned we'd ever be a member of, is, you know, is losing a child. And, you know, but for me, it's just amazing. We don't know the impact that our children leave until we discover that. I mean, you know, my daughter's own calling hours and funeral, there had to be about 200-300 people that showed up. And it was just amazing to me that, you know, she was 18 when she died, but it's amazing to me that Janine left so much of an impact in this world in her short life. And it sounds like Daniela did the same thing in her brief life as well.
She did. And I know that we had talked about how we shared this club that we don't want to be in, but how do we move forward from that? And you're obviously moving forward as well, creating an impact. And what are you doing with that in a loss, which is, it really changes you.
Mm-hmm.
You become a different person. At least for me, I have really changed from that experience.
Yeah, I mean, me too. And I don't see how you couldn't change.
Right.
You know, a loss that defies the natural order of the universe, that causes us to reevaluate our beliefs, priorities, everything we stood for, it's got to change you. If it doesn't change you, to me, and this is just from my own perspective, Tina, for me, if it doesn't change and we remain the same, there's no movement, there's no leaving a legacy, there's no perspective shift. And that's important if we are going to re-engage in life again in a world where our children are present.
That's right. Exactly. It just have to change. I mean, you could choose not to change. I chose to take the better road instead of the bitter road, because that's one of the things that I learned. We could really, from a loss like that, we could just stay stuck and not move. We can make a difference, do something, make an impact, do good.
Yeah,
you know, for others is what I would like to do.
Yeah, and I'm with you in that area as well too, because that's something I want to do and continue to do. And together we can use our experiences to help individuals who are going through their own challenges. And to me, you know, if we can leave a positive impact on those that have gone through challenges, then our journey and the challenges that we've gone through have borne fruit.
Right, exactly. It is that type of experience and impact, and, you know, more to come. For me, I know there's more to do in continuing to create that legacy for her.
Yep. Yeah, I think there's more for me to do, too, to continue to create that legacy for Janine. So together, we'll see how far we can get, Tina.
That's right. Before our own time is over on this earth, right? Because time moves quickly. I don't know about you, but time is going by way too fast.
Yeah, the older I get, the faster it goes.
I know. You and me both. I mean, we're already wrapping up third quarter. We're into fourth quarter this week.
Yep.
And the holidays will be here before you know it. And where did 2025 go?
Yeah, it went faster than 2024.
Oh, yes, it did. It did, for sure.
Tell our audience about your book. From Pain to Peace, A Mother's Heartbreaking Journey Through Losing a Child, and What Do You Want Readers to Take Away from It?
Okay. So I wrote the book when my daughter passed away. I said, now what do I do with this situation, this story? And I wanted to write a book because it was my healing. And it took me about a couple of months to get my thoughts down. But I wanted it. I was thinking about the reader. The reader was the mom, like me, who lost a child. Now, it could be a father as well, any parent, anyone who lost a loved one. They might have lost a spouse. They might have lost a sibling, whatever, a parent. But I was focusing really with the mom in mind when I wrote the book. And it was a way for me to share that what do we do through loss? How do we navigate our life? But in the book, I didn't want it to be the five stages of grief and how do you move past the stages, because I've already, you know, those books are there. I read them already. I'm not focusing on that in the book. In the book, I'm focusing on how do you stay in gratitude? How do you find joy again? Having a support around you when you go through a loss, because it's very important. But more importantly, I created an acronym called VOICE. Having a voice, using your voice whenever you're going through something that's difficult. And so what I wanted to share is that there is gratitude, because I want people to focus on the good memories of the person, not to go into the bad memories. So I focused a lot on the memories, the things we shared, how to find joy again. And I made the book is written in a way that at the end of each chapter, there are reflection questions. So it's like a journal. So I want people to really dig deep in, you know, what can they do to find gratitude? What can they do to find that joy again? And I talked about leaving a legacy. What can you do about leaving a legacy for your loved one? And how can you continue to use your voice as you're going through it? So the VOICE acronym is V for voice, having a voice. The O is optimism. The I is impact. The C is courage. And the E is empathy. Okay? It's like, what can we do using our voice and really having empathy and creating that impact, but having the courage to stand up and to be the voice for that person is what I wanted to really wanted to focus on. Even, you know, in the book, I talked about her diagnosis and how I felt. But I really was focusing more on moving forward and finding hope again. That's the thing, because I lost hope. When she passed away, I just like, what do I do? And I really gave up. And I said, well, but I have other people to live for. I have a son. I have family. And so it was very important for me to take that better road instead of being in that bitter, wallowing in that self-pity. And going into depression, really getting stuck on that. And so that was my goal for the book.
Yeah, and I really, among other things, I really liked the acronym VOICE. I liked everything about your book, but that stood out. I thought that was a very clever play on the word voice, and you had many different categories that arose from that that can really help people find meaning. I think the biggest piece is empathy. I think I have a lot of people that I've talked with. They have talked about how their sadness not only morphed into being the most compassionate souls and leading with compassion and heart-centered companionship, but it also helped them empathize. And not only empathize with the individual who had shared the same type of loss, whether it be loss of a child, loss of a sibling, but being able to tap into the pain of their worst loss to sit with others' worst pain. That's something that they've indicated to me has been, it's just a generalized empathy for anybody that's going through challenge.
Exactly. And so when I think of empathy for me, it was really empathizing myself, having compassion for me, giving myself grace.
Yeah.
And, you know, going from the pain, how can we move to peace somehow? I mean, we're going to be coping with this. We're going to be, some people say you got to move forward. Do we ever move forward? No, we are dealing with this, it's part of us every day. There's the memories, and I want people to remember the memories. And one thing that I wanted to share in the book that I shared it is to be in the present moment. Every day, cherish those memories.
Yes, especially in the beginning. I know for me, in the beginning of my journey with Janine, the memories were just like a painful reminder of who I lost. Now the memories are a joyous reminder of who I have and who I continue to have. Because she's always going to be with me in some way, shape, or form. And I realize that. It may not be in the physical sense, but she's here. She's here in a different form of energy.
She is.
And the other part, and I think you made a good point with this. Yeah, I mean, we strive for peace. But peace doesn't mean we don't honor the grieving process. Our grief can come up at any time, depending on what's going on with us at a particular time. But it doesn't mean we can't have peace. We just room for the sadness and the yearning that's going to be a part of our journey until we, as I like to joyfully call it, dancing in another dimension. So
Yes, that's right. See him in another dimension. I like that. And yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you know, they're always going to be inside of us. They're around us and remembering them, you know, talking to them, honoring them. It is so important that after they've passed away to continue to honor them.
Yes. Absolutely. And we get through grief by remembering. We certainly don't get through it by forgetting. And, you know, you mentioned the stages of grief earlier. Research has shown that people do not grieve in stages, that the journey is very circular. There's no time limit. It's going to take as long as it's going to take to get from the raw pain of loss to a point in life where you have found peace. You've accepted that your life is what it's going to be without the physical presence of your loved ones. But you've made a decision to re-engage in that life anyway, with purpose and with meaning.
Right. Exactly. That is so true. That is so true what you're saying. Great conversation.
Yeah, very much so. I read in the introduction of your book, which was published, I think, in 2022.
Yes.
You mentioned, I have had struggles in my life, none as difficult to accept as the loss of my beautiful daughter. I haven't really fully accepted it yet, as I am still on my path to peace. Now, can you tell our listeners where you are with acceptance in the current present moment, 2025, and how it's different from where you were in 2022?
Okay, that's a great question. So today, now 5 years later, I still at times choke up when I mention her name, when I talk about her. But I think that as time has gone by, I've accepted it more. That this is what was meant to happen. You know, I was fighting it at the beginning. I was just really struggling with, why did this happen? And asking God, why? Why her? And I think even today, we will never know why. I don't understand it to this day. I don't understand the why. But all I can say today is maybe I'm at more peace, that she's in a happier place. It was meant to happen. My daughter would always say, Mom, everything happens for a reason. And maybe that was the reason. That was her destiny. That was the time. She was 37 and needed to be gone from Earth, but that doesn't mean she's gone. She is up there. She's doing things. She's happier, peaceful. We would just like to have her here on Earth and spend more time with her and see her doing the things that she had so much to do, so much life to live still, like your daughter.
Yes. And, you know, there isn't a human law explanation that can explain why Daniela was taken from you at 37 and why Janine was taken from me at 18.
Exactly.
But in sacred law, for me, 18 years was the time that she needed for her soul to evolve, to learn what she had to learn in this incarnation of herself, to teach what she had to teach. And then she moved on to a new existence. Now, I've had to accept that. I mean, there are days that I want her here. There are days that I still physically yearn for her presence.
Me too.
You know, especially when there's certain events going on with the grandchildren, and especially with her daughter. Janine died, and I call it transition to a new experience, a new existence. She transitioned 10 months after giving birth to her only child. So,
oh, wow. I didn't know that. Oh.
Yes. So when her granddaughter achieves a particular milestone, or just that will also bring up memories and yearning for my daughter. But I can't yearn for something too long for something that I can't have. So I look at those type of yearnings as another way that I can that my love for my daughter comes out. It isn't something I shy away from anymore. It's just part of the process.
Okay.
It's part of the process of what I've gone through. So that's going to be part of what I feel for the rest of my life. There's going to be good moments. There's going to be not so good moments, but that's a part of what makes us who we are. That's a part of what makes life what it is.
I know. It's so true. The holidays, their birthdays, there are different events. And then we say, oh, I wish that they were here right now. Oh, she would have loved this. Oh, she was. So there's always those things that you remember. You have the pictures. You have the memories. It's hard, but it becomes part of you. Like, I'm a mom who lost a daughter.
Yep.
In my journey, that's part of my journey.
Yep.
And that's what it is.
Yep.
But what it has taught me, too, is that anytime I hear someone else who has lost a child, my heart, I can relate immediately what they're going through. I'm there. Like, for example, my sister-in-law just learned a couple weeks ago her own daughter got diagnosed with cancer.
Terrible.
Now, I immediately went there that day that I knew when my daughter. And we shared that moment, and it was a trigger. Now, my daughter and my niece are two different types of illness. There's more, I think, this one is going to be better. But she's still a mom who has a daughter, who's married and has a child, going through this journey now. Yeah. That you as a mom is experiencing this. So really brings me back to that moment.
And, you know, Tina, it doesn't have to be somebody we know. If we just hear of somebody in the community my daughter had cancer. She died from cancer. When I hear of somebody else in the community that has a child that's dealing with cancer, I automatically can empathize and I automatically go back because I know what it was like for me. I know what that journey was like.
Exactly.
I know what the trajectory of her death was like. It was... there was grief before the grief for me. I was grieving the loss of her physicality, the loss of her spirit, the loss of her personality, and that cancer took that from her. And we watched that piece by piece and minute by minute, which what individuals may need to understand is that there's grief before the actual loss of that person, the physical loss.
Yes. Oh my God. That is so true when you said, and it brought me back to the time because she had 8 months from diagnosis to passing away. And those were the worst 8 months of my life. And going through was so difficult. But I was grateful that I was able to be with her.
Yep.
Through every moment.
Yep. And, you know, and likewise for me as well, too, that I was grateful to be there with my daughter for every moment. But it's, and the other thing with milestones, it's not only for me. I used to remember not only her day of transition or day of death or her birthday, but it was the date that she was first diagnosed, the date that we got the prognosis, the date of her first chemotherapy, the date that she stopped treatment, everything. And those are other associated losses and milestones that we grieve.
Yeah.
You know, those dates in addition to just the traditional milestones. And it's a very... I think each loss has its own unique set of challenges. And I think anybody who's lost a child or a loved one to terminal illness, it has its own unique set of challenges, grieving everything that led up to the actual passing or death.
Right. You make a very good point. And I was just talking to someone about that the other day, how the dates, you know, like October was the month that we found out that there was something wrong. And then November 1st is when she was diagnosed. So those dates still stay in my brain. Of everything, yep. Every date stays in my brain. Yes.
May 22nd, 2002 is when she was initially diagnosed. June 2nd, the diagnosis was confirmed, and we got a prognosis that pretty much indicated if her aggressive chemotherapy could not put her cancer in remission, there was no hope because there was no cure for her cancer. So I remember these dates as if they happened yesterday, and these were dates that occurred 23 years ago.
Wow. Yeah. Your daughter passed away quite a bit long ago. Yes. So mine was 5 years ago, but you remember the dates. You do? It's interesting.
You don't forget that for sure. So,
no,
you know, there's one other question that occurred to me. and this isn't something I talked to you about previously, how has your experience with Daniela's death, has that changed or informed your work as a business coach with other women? Has that inspired it, taken it into a different direction, or are you doing things any differently?
Well, you know, I don't do things differently, but I do, because there's situations with my women that I work with, they're going through some personal struggles. So as they're going through personal struggles, I can relate to it. So I think my relatability with them has strengthened. Because as a matter of fact, one of the women in my community, she lost her own daughter to suicide. And so I'm there for her, not only as a business coach, but as a woman who also lost a child, a mom like herself. So there's that connection. There's that definite connection with the two of us. And so that relatability, that empathy is there, you know, and vice versa. Like we will share things of each other that we learned or did. So it has changed. It has changed, I would say, because I have become more empathetic myself to their struggle. This is not business. This is not just business. It's life.
And
life affects our business, right?
It sure does. I mean, I tell my students at Utica University, what happens at home, what happens in your personal life affects what you do at school. It affects what you do in the world of work. So I also suggest them, if they're going to go into supervision, try to understand as much as possible about what's personally going on with the people that you're responsible for supervising, because if they're experiencing struggles at work, there's more than likely something going on at home that's affecting that.
There's certain challenges going on in my community right now that I can relate to because I went through a divorce. Some of the women are going through a divorce. Some of the women have lost a child, like I said, things like that. And we can relate. Career change, loss, or just looking for ways to reinvent themselves, which is what I help them do. So it is life. So I've become a life coach.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that can't be underscored is the impact of the humanitarian approach to anything that we do, whether it's a business coach, whether it's a supervisor, because if we can connect with our fellow human beings as another fellow human being, that's going to enhance the relationship and we're going to be able to work with them on so many different levels.
Exactly. So true.
And it's about building relationships. So.
It is about building relationships and having empathy for others and really being able to connect with them on a deeper level.
Absolutely. Tina, I got a couple other questions for you. And then we'll be saying so long for now, but hopefully we can come back and do this again.
Yes, it'll be great.
First of all, if you're going to leave our audience with one ultimate takeaway or lesson or wisdom today, what would that be?
Is to be in the present moment, cherish everything that you're going through, and look at the lesson that it's teaching you. You know, because things are happening for us, not to us.
Yep. I think everything that happens to us is in service to us, and even particularly things that we see as being negative events have something to teach us. I think Pema Chodron, she's a Buddhist monk, had said something, nothing ever truly goes away until it has nothing left to teach us. So everything has something to teach us, the yin and the yang of it. So
it does. Everything does give us something to teach us. And so I'd like to teach others as they're going through that, because people look to me and say, wow, you're so resilient. Wow, you have so much courage, and yet you stay in this positive and happy mode. I said, look, I have my bad days. Not going to lie. However, I'm still want to be out there and show up and hopefully make a difference, make an impact for someone that they can move through these challenges.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, nobody goes through life being happy 24 hours, 7 days a week. There's the whole spectrum of emotions make us who we are. And as long as we don't reject that, if we can accept it, and we can allow it to be a teacher to us and promote genuineness and true empathy, as you mentioned, you know, we'll have lived a good life.
Exactly. We will have lived a good life. And if we can really feel good about it, you know, and what we're doing, and every day say, you know, if I can make a difference, who did I serve today? Who can I serve today?
Yep.
I think is very good to
do. You got it. You got it. Tina, my last question for you is, if people want to get in touch with you, purchase your books, contract for your services, what is the best way for them to do that?
Okay, so my website is www.fromjobtojoy.com. They will have access to my books there, direct them to Amazon. I'm on Facebook, Tina Kadish. I'm on LinkedIn as well, Tina Kadish. And I'm on Instagram as well, but my website is really the place where they can find everything about me, what I do, my services that I offer, and other resources, my podcasts and all my interviews that I've done, like this one. I will be sharing it on my website.
Oh, wonderful. What a good, and definitely all of your contact information we'll get into the episode notes, and
good.
I will share that wherever it needs to be shared, and hopefully our listeners will, this episode will resonate with them, as I believe it will, so.
It will, it will. Thank you so much, Dave, for having me here today.
Tina, it was my pleasure, and with that, that's a wrap on another episode of the Teaching Journeys Podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts, wishing you peace.
Thank you.